Good morning. I was a little hesitant this morning because we have been suffering a few malfunctions this morning. The first of which was the pulpit microphone, which is not working. That's why I'm speaking through this microphone, the lapel mic, and this one might be picking me up as well. So if you're hearing all kinds of strange echoes, that's what's going on. Second malfunction was when Grant turned on the computer, it decided it was going to start updating itself. And until it finishes doing things like that, you can't do anything. And so Grant had a bit of a sweat on, hoping that the thing was going to be done updating by the time we were ready to start the service. Is it ready, Grant? Are we? We're good to go. Excellent. Splendid. And the next thing is Peter gets up here and he starts playing Happy Birthday to You. And so I sent my missionary friend here over to Peter to see who he was playing for. And it turns out, now don't get too excited here, today is Corinne Leask's birthday. I believe today is also Mark Reed's birthday. Is that right? And yesterday was Richard Reed's birthday. So, happy birthday! And I understand from young Daniel here that he's got 10,000 announcements, so I better get out of the way. It's done.
Corinne and Richard, I think, both turned 29. Mark, much older. I do have a lot of announcements, but I'll refer to the back of the bulletin to start with. Ladies' Bible study, still going Thursday mornings, and they're studying the book of Acts, and everybody is welcome. If you're interested, see Sandy Reed. Shoe boxes, there's a pile of them. We're going to be dedicating those today. You can still make financial donations to the work for Samaritan's Purse, and I think, go ahead.
I won't be taking them until next Monday, so
okay.
We still have a week yet. Next Monday I'll deliver the boxes, and my financial is accepted as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A few things on the Christmas nativity scenes. We always put a display on at the back here on December the 1st this year. If you want to bring your nativity scenes, and I know a lot of people, it seems to grow every year. Next Sunday, if you want to bring them on Sunday, and make sure your name is on them so that they're labeled, so that you're not taking somebody else's because you like it more than yours. But they can be piled at the back there where the coffee urn is, and piled underneath in there to make it a little bit easier for the people that put that together. If you just would decide to do that on November the 30th. I know that on November the 30th that they will be coming in probably around 9 o'clock, 9-ish in the morning to do that setup. So if you have in mind to bring those nativity scenes, they would be greatly appreciated, and that part of that day is really growing for us. So continued work on that. Mustard seed donations, new socks, gloves, toques, scarves, etc. can be placed in the container in the foyer at the front. Christmas hampers. Boy, it's hard this time of year to even still talk about Christmas, but there we go. Your donations of non-perishable food items towards the food hampers for the needy in our area can be placed in the container, and those are always in the as well in the foyer. Sunday the 25th. Is that the right date? Yep. Family worship at 10. That's Christ the King Sunday. The 2nd is the first Sunday of Advent, and that's a white gift Sunday for toys and gifts for Santa's Anonymous. And December the 9th is the second Advent, and that's brown gift. Please remember to bring food donations to help Christmas hampers. And the nativity display I talked about on December the 1st. Charlie.
Seems how Dan talked about Christmas hampers. I'll talk about the monetary part of it. If you want to make a monetary donation to the Christmas Hamper Program, we can do that. I can tax receipt it. Please, though, make your checks either payable to the Cremona Congregational Church or put it in your envelope and just mark a portion of it, whatever you want, wish, to food hampers. We can pick that up off your church envelopes. But please don't make your check payable to food hampers or Mountain View food, whatever. If you want it tax receipted by the church, it has to be payable to the church. We, of course, accept cash. And we cannot accept donations to Santa's Anonymous. If you give us a donation to Santa's Anonymous, we will forward it on to them. But we cannot tax receipt donations that you want to make to Santa's Anonymous. So if you've got any questions, just come and see us after. Thanks.
Thanks, Jerry. If anybody has an old wagon, I'm not talking about a little red wagon that you pull, a horse-drawn wagon or anything like that, there's a family in need of having one for a wedding coming in July. The Richmond family are having a wedding in July and would like to have one of those. So if you've got one that you would like to sell, lend, or just give, talk to the boss over there. That would be great. And now, I'm going to go into my sales mode here. If you're ever looking for something to add to those stockings for stocking stuffers, or while you're sitting there contemplating what you're going to be writing down on those Christmas cards you'll be sending out, I have a deal for you. We have for sale for $1 per pen, a pen that is guaranteed. If it doesn't work, we'll either give you back another pen or a dollar. And they're a dollar a piece or five for $5. They will be on sale out in the foyer after church service. Thank you.
We want to do potluck.
No potluck.
No. Okay. I guess one last thing. We were into talking about this a little bit. It was in the church calendar that it was potluck today, but I think a lot of people either didn't read the calendar or just totally forgot about it. It wasn't in announcements. So we're canceling potluck today. So all the food at the back I will be taking home. No, I'm just kidding. If people did bring things, take it home for today. We are going to have official announcement potluck next Sunday. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
I got a good pen.
Thanks to Daniel for those announcements. I think we'll put him on to deliver the message as well. He's got a good style. Thanks, Dan. Any further announcements? It's good to see everyone. A warm welcome to everyone to our church today. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And each of us will be richly blessed by being here. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. Our call to worship this morning is a very well-known verse from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hand you over now to the good hands of our worship youth praise team, who will lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. We're going to start with a song that has actually been a while since we've done it, but it should be familiar to some of you.
See you.
song we're going to do, Pat Pilot did it for Special Music a few weeks ago. Current thinking is that it's the best song ever written, but you'll have to judge that for yourselves. I like it quite a bit.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a
trees of the field, you shall go out with joy.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. As you go out with joy, you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. As you go up with joy.
Big thank you to Youth Praise for leading us in our worship this morning. I was carrying on from the chorus. Good job. Thank you so much. That was excellent. As we drove through here this morning, you probably saw the same as we did. When we left home, Iris said to me, I didn't know there was snow in the forecast, and it was snowing. And as we're driving through here, the sun was gleaming on the mountains and they were shining. And we were thinking, this is the God we adore. This is the God that we worship. And we are here today to worship the Lord God who created all of this and how he watches over us and cares for us. So we now bow our heads and we join together and we pray. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come before you once again this day with joy in our hearts, with hearts overflowing with thanksgiving because of all that you do for us, for the way that you so richly bless our lives and bring to us the joy that we know, Lord, that we don't really deserve. But we thank you, Father, anyway, because no matter how we are, you just love us anyway. Just the same as we love our kids, you love us, Father, and we thank you so much. And so at the outset of our service, gracious Father, we come before you to lift high the name of Jesus, to bring glory and honor to the name which is above every name. And as we do these things, Father, we pray that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that you will speak your special words that you have prepared for each and every one of us. Bless us as we worship, Lord. We worship in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 4 to 11, and then verse 20, and this is about the birth of Samuel. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year, and whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once while they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. Responsive reading. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You, his servants, praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children.
Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
And now we are very happy to welcome back Youth Praise to lead us in our special music. Thank you.
So the song we're going to do this morning is perhaps a bit of a departure. It's actually an adaptation of a song that was written and performed by probably the biggest rock and roll band in the world today. And that may seem odd to do in church, but I and my esteemed associates here have noticed a common theme in many of this band's songs for the last, I don't know, 6 or more years. And I think that's pretty cool because, you know, worst case, these guys are writing songs that are unwittingly speaking to people like us who identify ourselves with Christ. Or perhaps it's that God is subverting the music culture through a band who doesn't openly identify themselves as Christians either, because it seems like in North America, if you do that, in the entertainment industry, you're immediately marginalized to a certain subculture. So that being the case, we're going to do this song, and you can see what you think. It's called Come Alive.
Seems like only yesterday life belonged to runaways. Nothing here to see, no looking back. Every sound monotone, every color monochrome. Life began to fade into the black. Such a simple animal, sterilized with alcohol, I could hardly feel me anymore. Desperate and meaningless, all filled up with emptiness, felt like everything was said and done. I lay there in the dark, and I closed my eyes. You say, find my way, spinning hours, end of days, burning like a flame behind my eyes. Drown it out, drink it in, crown the king of suffering, prisoner, slave to the disguise. Disappear the only thing, bittersweet surrendering, knew that it was time to say goodbye. I lay dark, and I close my eyes. You saved me the day you came alive. No reason left for me to survive. You saved me the day you came alive. Come alive, come alive, come alive. Come alive, 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 come alive. Nothing more to give, I can finally live, come alive. Your life living me, I can finally breathe, come alive. Come alive. Sit down in the dark and open my eyes. You saved me the day you came alive.
was in my office and you were practicing, I kept thinking to myself, what on earth is that? But now that I've seen it and I see the words to it, I loved it. Thank you so much. Good job. Well done. I thought you guys had some beautiful harmonies in there as well. It was excellent. What a trendy church we are, aren't we? So trendy. My word. Thank you. That was excellent. And now we're going to have another first for our church. It's time to bring our gifts to the Lord. And whilst this is happening, we have a young man who's going to be making his debut, if you like, to church music. And he's a little bit nervous by it. But Caleb Reed is going to present music for us. He's going to play minuet whilst your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world are received. He's a little reluctant, but thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. So what do we think of Caleb's first effort at church music, eh? Didn't he do a good job? Well done, Caleb. It's not easy, and once that first time is over, you'll be up here frequently now playing good music for us. So Caleb did a great job there. And did you see how our brand new young usher there? I like that girl. She's trying to get everybody to pay twice. Charlie likes her as well. Well, that was great. For our children's address today, we're talking about shoeboxes. We're in the middle of the shoebox season, and you can see this is about half of the shoeboxes that our church family here have put together. I think 63 is the current number that we're at, 63. And so in a little while we'll do a dedication of the shoeboxes. And after we've done that, Corinne and Iris are going to come up, and they're going to be doing some dedications of, not dedications, promotions for the Cradle of Children. So that'll be after we've done the shoeboxes. But to start with, we're going to show a little piece of film here which the children have always liked, and it's the VeggieTales version of Larry's Shoebox Adventure, which the kids all loved a couple of years ago when we first did it. So if we put the lights out and we'll all watch the Larry's Veggie, whatever they call it.
I just love giving to kids in need. Ooh, Panama, cool. I've always wanted to go to Panama. Hola, fresh breath. Buenos dias, bright smile. There you go, Teddy. Adios. You'll make some little niña very happy. Oh, heavy crayons. Whoa. The better to color with, my dear. Whoa! A little help? Hey, guys, I'm in here.
Did you say something?
Eh?
What did you say?
Eh?
Never mind. Oh! Oh! This is heavy! Some little one in Panama is going to be very surprised.
Help! Airfare, por favor.
Merry Christmas! Jesus loves you!
Since 1993, Operation Christmas Child has delivered over 68 million shoebox gifts to needy kids in over 130 countries.
They open their boxes and they are excited. There's a smile on their face. You can see a spark in their eyes.
We love packing shoeboxes.
Across the country, millions of people are setting goals and finding ways to pack shoeboxes.
I have a bag of candy with lots of stuff.
Teddy bears.
Toothbrush, toothpaste.
And a green dog.
When we see these boxes coming here, they're not just shoe boxes. They're tools for ministry. They're miracles. They're landing in people's hands that would never dream about it.
I'm absolutely overwhelmed that these children have something to smile about this Christmas. I cannot thank Samaritan's Purse enough for what they've done for these children. My thanks reaches the highest heaven.
Where did you go? Ooh, nice hack.
You guys should really turn down your headphones. Never mind.
Doesn't it just warm your heart when you see the effect that those little gifts and those shoeboxes have on these children in all these little countries of the world? It's just wonderful, and it's great to play a part. So would the children like to come and join me, please? And we're going to do a dedication of these shoeboxes here, plus all the others. So if the children would come up, please. I want you all to come up here and stand up close to these shoe boxes, because I want, when we do our prayer of dedication, I want everybody to just put your hand on the shoe boxes. Come on up, put your hand on the shoe boxes. Come on. Put your hand. We're going to pray for all the children who are going to receive these shoe boxes, okay? And because you are touching them, your love is going from you right into these gifts in these shoe boxes and all the way to the children that will receive them. So each and every one of us, we bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, for each child that receives one of these boxes. May they feel our love for them. And may they learn that Jesus loves them and that it is Jesus' love that we share with them. Bless the children, Lord. Bless their homes and bless Operation Christmas Child that reaches out in Christ's name to each and every one of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Now, if you all have a seat down there for now. Okay. And I'll invite Corrine and Iris to come on up here to do the promotions for the cradle roll. Thank you.
Good morning. As most of you no doubt know, when our little ones, because we've got such great Sunday school teachers, the little ones are only on the cradle roll for 2 years. And the ones that turned 2 in 2012 or who are promoted now. Some I know aren't able to be here, but Evelyn Gail Reed, and if you'd come up, and Iris will give you your card, and I'd like you to stay up so I can get your picture when you're... I didn't know which one it was. And Linnell Judith Reed. And Caleb, didn't get here. Caleb Charles Van Arnum is another one on our list. And Jasper Oakland Gano. Callie Lexon Reed. And Owen Sackett Helm. Tristan Fighting Gano, I know he's away. Keith and Jacob Pfeiffer. So we've got a few of them anyway. And we'll mail the cards to the ones that didn't make it.
Now, I think Corrine wants to take a picture of the children that are here who've had their promotion today. So it's a photo shoot. If anybody else wants to take a picture of them, now is your chance. Where do you want them, Corrine? Where's the best? You can grab them all. Excellent, thank you. Thank you, boys and girls, and now is a good time for the children to go to their Sunday school class. Thank you. We who are left stand and sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 8, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Salvation.
Come to our time of prayer. Anything happened in your life in the week that has passed? Anything going on in your life that you've got to be thankful for? Anything troubling you that you're worried about and you're not quite sure what's going to happen next? You know where we're going with all these things, don't you? We just praise the Lord that we have God who listens to all of our prayers, who hears them. And he answers them all. And we need to pray for a discerning spirit that we can sort out what that answer is and what God is saying to us. One thing I just want to mention. Peter de Graaf went to the theatre this week. He went to Rosebud to see the show that's on there right now. And his granddaughter, you remember Lauren de Graaf? You remember little Lauren who grew up in our congregation? She is the star of that production at Rosebud right now until Christmas. And Peter says, yeah, it was okay. He says it was fabulous. And I think he recommends it to all of us. But isn't that great to hear that one of the young ladies who grew up here in our church family, and she's now attending Rosebud Theatre of the Arts, and she's starring in the major Christmas performance going on there. Good for her. Give her our love, Peter. And if anybody wants to go, you know where Rosebud is. They've got a beautiful road to Rosebud now. I've always complained about it for years, but now the road to Rosebud is beautiful. You can smoothly drive there. So that's going on at Rosebud. And apart from all the things going on in your life, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father, we bow our heads before you in humility. But we lift our hearts in praise, for you have looked upon us with great mercy and compassion as you have guided us safely to this time and to this place. And we know, Lord, that although we are not worthy of such grace, you still call us, you still love us, and our hearts are filled with gratitude. And we worship you and we glorify your name. You enrich our lives by your holy presence. You guard us and you protect us. You feed us and you clothe us. You are our complete provider. Hear us, Lord, and accept the praises that we bring. When you created us, Father, you created us for eternity. You created us to worship you. Yet you gave to each of us a free spirit and a free mind. And you gave us, Father, the responsibility to choose our own eternal destination. Help us, Lord, to seek and to find, to ask and to receive, to knock and to be admitted to your most glorious and holy presence. Help us, Lord, to find peace from those things that worry us, from those things that trouble us. Guide us again, Lord, to the foot of your cross, to that place where you wait for us, where you listen to us, and where you take away our burdens of sin and guilt, and our worries and our cares and our problems. And we are thankful, Lord, that you take all of these things from us and you replace them all with your blessed peace. We pray, gracious Lord, for your healing touch to take away the pain and the suffering and the anxiety of those whom you have placed upon our hearts to care for. And as we whisper their names in our hearts, Father, we pray for their peace in body, in mind, and in spirit. We pray in silence. We are thankful, Holy Father, for the privilege that we have of being part of your church family, and especially this church family. We praise you for the fellowship and for the friendship that we find here in this place. And we ask your blessing, Holy Father, upon every home represented here. Help us, Father, as we seek to share this great fellowship with all whom you call and send here. We pray for our friends who are not here today, Lord. We miss them, and we ask that they may know and feel your presence with them, wherever they are, whatever they are doing. And as we prepare, Lord, for a new week of work and service and play, we ask that this may be a week in your service, a time of outreach to those whom we meet, and a week of joy in your spirit. May we be blessed by being channels of your blessing, speaking the right word in the right season, that there may be much rejoicing in heaven over sinners who repent. Blessed and almighty God, our Father, hear our prayers and hear the unspoken prayers of our hearts, for we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
New Testament is from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of the birth pains." And the epistle is from Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 11 through 14 and 19 through 25. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thanks to Phil for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to God's glory the hymn 440, Oh for a Heart to Praise My God. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Does anybody know how to pronounce this? Apocalyptic eschatology. There you go. Originally, I thought about making the title of my message today Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Apocalyptic Eschatology. But I dropped that idea because I feared that there may be one or two of you who might not know what I'm talking about. Is that right? But actually, this is exactly what the message is about today. Apocalyptic Eschatology. Eschatology is the study of end times or last things, and apocalyptic means an unveiling, an uncovering of something that was previously hidden. So there you have it. Now you know what the message is about. Apocalyptic eschatology. You got that? Good. St. John was the only one of the 12 disciples that died a natural death. Whilst he was imprisoned on the island of Patmos, the Holy Spirit appeared to him and revealed to him the events that would come about at the end times here on earth and thereafter in the heavenly realm. The Holy Spirit instructed St. John to write everything down, which he did. And the book that he wrote was given the name Revelation, because that is what that book is. It reveals and uncovers the previously hidden things about end times. The book of Revelation is an apocalyptical eschatology. I hope I'm saying it right. A revealing of end times. Now, you don't hear too much about these things nowadays. And the reason being that the book of Revelation has become the happy hunting ground for all kinds of lunatic fringe movements, as well as those wishing to write books about things that they really know nothing about. All that we know about end times are those things that the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed to us. And in today's gospel reading, Jesus revealed a little bit of these things to us. I've mentioned to you before that when Iris and I visit our homeland in the north of England, we invariably take in a visit to Durham Cathedral. It was founded in the year 1039, and it is regarded as the greatest of Norman buildings in the world. And as you go through the entrance archway and then on into the great cathedral, you are just overwhelmed with awe. As you look upwards at the majestic pillars rising up to the great ceiling, and as you stand there gazing at all of this splendor, you kind of think to yourself, how on earth did they build this thing? How did they do it? The treasures and the relics are beyond description. And then when you enter the shrine of St. Cuthbert, I know I speak for myself and Iris, you kind of get goosebumps when you go in there. St. Cuthbert is the old saint who was involved in the very beginnings of Christianity in Britain. And his body never did deteriorate from his death in the year 687 to the placement of his remains in this place in the year 1104. Wow. I guess I sound like a tourist, don't I? As Mark chapter 13 opens, Jesus' disciples are just like a group of tourists, a group of country boys gawking at the striking features of this magnificent building that they are just leaving. And I think if there'd been cameras around in those days, you could imagine the disciples clicking away with their cameras, trying to get the best background with their friends in the foreground. You can just see it. Tourists, just like we often are. You can imagine the appreciative oohs and the ahs as they moved along. And one of them turns to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, look at these beautiful stones and these wonderful buildings." It's almost like saying, look at this solid rock. Look at this temple, which is the foundation of our faith. And all Jews felt this way about their temple in Jerusalem. So these friends of Jesus would have been absolutely stunned to hear the words that Jesus spoke next. "Do you see all of these huge buildings? They will certainly be torn down. Not one stone will be left on another." They would be stunned. They would be staggered by this. This was outrageous thinking. They didn't dispute it. They didn't express any disbelief. I guess they just found it too hard to take in, to digest. And you can see why. The smallest stones in this structure weighed 2 to 3 tons. The smallest stones. Many of them weighed 50 tons. The largest stone still in existence as part of Jerusalem's Wailing Wall is approximately 40 feet long. That's about 12 metres for the up-to-date people, and 10 feet high, 3 metres, and it weighs hundreds of tons. How did they build that thing? How did they do that? The stones were so immense that neither mortar nor any other building materials were needed between the stones. These walls towered over Jerusalem over 400 feet in one area. And inside the four main walls was an area of approximately 45 acres of bedrock mountain shaved flat. And in Jesus' day, 250,000 people could fit quite comfortably into that area. This gives you an idea of the sheer enormity of the size of this temple. And so we can then understand the disciples' surprise at Jesus' words. It was inconceivable that a structure as important and as immense as this could ever come down. Unless, of course, it was the end of the world. So Jesus and his disciples left the temple. They descended down into the Kidron Valley and then up the other side of the valley to the Mount of Olives. So they were now right opposite the temple, but on the other side of the valley. And as they were travelling there, you can just imagine the disciples were probably talking and thinking about what Jesus had said. Probably weighing it up between themselves. What's he talking about? How could this possibly be? And then they ask Jesus a question. They think they are only asking one question. But in real terms, they're asking two questions. They say, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? Two questions. And in reply, Jesus, instead of giving them a list of the signs that the end times were imminent, he focused on things that are not signs of the end. Things that are not signs of the end. Hear what Jesus said. Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must come, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. And surprise, surprise. All of these things that Jesus mentions, where he says these are not the signs of end times, these are all the very things that all of the false prophets leap upon and point as their proof that their predictions of the end is nigh are true. Every single time that there is a significant world event, wars, the millennium, 9/11, and so on, the false prophets are out with their false predictions that the world is about to come to an end. When are these false prophets going to listen to Jesus? Instead of trying to listen to their own voice, the voice that they love to hear the most, Jesus says, watch out. Don't let anyone fool you. Do not be deceived. The only predictions that we can totally rely upon are those that come from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this prediction of his was another prediction that is true. In the year 70 AD, just as Jesus said it would, the unthinkable happened. The Jerusalem temple was totally destroyed. Down came all of those great big huge stones. Wars, earthquakes, famines, widespread suffering, these are not signs of end times. They are only signs of the times and of the evil that exists within mankind. Beware of false prophets. And those false prophets, well, they nearly always want your money, don't they? We don't know why they want your money if the world's coming to an end, but they want your money. Watch out, Jesus says. Be on your guard. Do not be deceived. And do not panic. So the disciples asked, when? When is this going to happen? And Jesus didn't ignore that question. He just left the answer to the end. First, he had to deal with what was going on in their minds right then. First, sort out the present before you start bothering yourself about the future. Jesus had just told them something that they regarded as impossible. It was unthinkable. It was earth-shattering. When you are told something in your life, something that you regard as unshakable, invincible, is about to fall apart, when cancer strikes, when accidents happen, when unexpected death occurs, when disease strikes, when financial ruin threatens, when the family suffers some disgrace, the unthinkable, the impossible, we are shocked, we are devastated, we look ahead and we can see only despair and the very worst possible outcome. And we are, in such moments as these, in a crisis. And when we are in a crisis, we do not think clearly. Our perceptions exaggerate the situation. We have a distorted view of reality. We are not seeing life clearly. These disciples were being persecuted by an oppressive government. They felt powerless. They were under immense pressure. They had given up everything to follow Jesus, and their leader had just told them what was going to happen to him. They knew and they understood crucified, but the rise again bit was beyond them. It was beyond their understanding. They didn't know what that was about. And so for this group of friends of Jesus, everything seemed dark, everything seemed hopeless, so much so that they probably wondered when he's talking about the temple coming down, they're thinking, is this it? Is the end nigh? Is the end coming? They were desperate. They were blinded by their anxiety. They were unable to see clearly. These guys were no different to what we are. We're ordinary people. Later on, they were given the title of saint this and saint that and saint the other. But I see a few saints sitting around here. They were ordinary people. Ordinary people. And Jesus says, do not be alarmed, even when it seems that this is your darkest hour, like your very own personal end of times. And he tells us to be alert and to be watchful and not to get alarmed. And Jesus is telling us not to let our imagination get the better of us in our moments of panic. The scriptures tell us to keep awake, to live in the present. Don't be stuck in the past. Don't be concerned about yesterday. Don't be concerned about what other people are thinking. Don't be dreaming about the future, worried about what will happen next, what we think will happen next, and it probably doesn't and it won't. God is in control, and the Holy Spirit continues to work either with us or around us when necessary. Countries will change. Families will change. The earth itself will change. Nothing will be left unchanged except God in Christ Jesus. The only secure and solid thing that we can place our faith in is God. And as the Bible promises in Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When everything nailed down in your life seems to be coming loose, remember who is in control. God is in control, and He will be, and He will be solid forever. So don't be too hasty in predicting your own end of times, or in predicting anything else for that matter. 17th century Bishop Francois Fenelon was inspired by God's Spirit when he wrote these things. Do not worry about the future. Worry quenches the work of grace within you. The future belongs to God. He is in charge of all things. Never second guess God. Thanks be to God. Amen. We stand and we sing to God's glory that great old gospel hymn, "We Have an Anchor That Keeps the Soul."
Soul,
to give everybody a break. We're just about sung out here. Let me just remind you, shoeboxes. Next Sunday is another possibility if you want to fill a shoebox and bring one in. They won't be gone by then. Or if anyone wants to make any financial contributions towards the Operation Shoebox, you can do by next Sunday. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.